Hello, everybody. Welcome to the second episode of 2022. I'm Eric. I'm here with Lou and Tim, and this is Random Chatter. We are going to be doing our follow-up to last week, where we covered kind of a preview of 2022. And this time around, this is going to be the introduction to our new Top 10 series, which we've never done before. So we're relying on you guys to give us feedback and let us know what you think of it. Okay, so here's what we're going to do. This first episode, just to kind of get a sense of timing and stuff like that, we're going to cheat a little bit. The 10 is actually going to be 5 and 5. We're going to do our 5 favorite movies of 2021. It can be something from the theaters, streaming, Netflix, whatever. Okay, and it doesn't have to be like what we think was the best movie, just what was our personal favorite. Okay, then after that, yeah, we're going to do the 5 most disappointing or least favorite movies of 2021. Okay, so for each one, we're going to rotate through and kind of alternate who goes first on which thing here. So we are going to start with number 5. Now, these are going to be our favorite movies of 2021, just based on our own personal criteria. Tim, what is your number 5?
Eric. So my number 5 favorite movie for 2021, Shang-Chi and Legend of the Ten Rings.
Okay.
Thoroughly enjoyed it. I was bummed I didn't get to see it in the theater. So, you know, I was delayed seeing it, saw it on Disney Plus when it dropped a couple months ago. Was really impressed with it. Great visuals. You know, like with a lot of Marvel movies, different vibe. It gave us kind of that martial arts thing. The backgrounds were phenomenal. The fight scenes were fantastic. And it opened up an entirely new line of storytelling in the MCU for us, which was great and refreshing. So yeah, really Definitely. Enjoyed it.
All right, Lou, what is your 5th favorite movie of 2021?
My 5th favorite movie was Dune. Oh. This was released on HBO Max as well as in theaters. This was the new version of, you know, the classic Dune story from, you know, whenever it was written. I was looking forward to this for a long time. It met my expectations. The only drawback to this was the fact that it's basically half the story. So
or a third. Like, we don't have clarification on that. Is it a 2-parter, 3-parter?
True.
Yeah.
True. But, you know, I like the visuals. I like the way it was set up. I think it was, you know, I mean, the story we know, so it wasn't like we had anything new there, but the visuals that were very well done. Very happy with it. I mean, I've seen the original. It was released back in the 80s in the theaters. I've seen the Sci-Fi Channel miniseries that was done a few years back. And this brings something different to the table. I think it's a, you know, very good visual movie.
I would agree with that. My number 5 for this past year was Tenet. I love Christopher Nolan's movies, some of them more so than others. And it took me a couple of viewings. Now, the one thing I did not like about Tenet, the audio mixing was so bad. I have no idea how they managed to actually distribute a movie mixed that badly. Like, it was, you almost had to watch it with closed captioning in some scenes to be able to determine what was being said. That aside, I thought it was a really good movie. I loved the twists. I loved the kind of the difficulty, the mind games of puzzling through what was going on and why, and kind of where they were in the chronology of the story. I loved the concept. Mm-hmm. Christopher Nolan's concepts are always brilliant. And it was one of those movies where I got something more out of it on subsequent viewings, which is something that is always like, if a movie can make me have a new level of appreciation on the second, third, and fourth time I see it, I love it. Like, I'm a fan. So it was kind of tough for me. There were some other we'll get to some honorable mentions later on, but I think this is a pretty solid 5th choice for me. So on to number 4, we're going to toss it back to you, Lou. What's your number 4 for 2021?
My number 4 was a recent release, Matrix Resurrections.
Really?
That was my number 4. Yeah.
Okay.
I know, kind of a controversial decision, probably. People didn't like it as much as I think they.
Yeah, I'm about to delete you off the show right now, but go on. It's okay.
Well, yeah, I think it's going to suffer from, the same thing happened to Phantom Menace. I mean, there's a lot of hype for it. It was so long in the coming to bring this together. I thought it was a well-done movie. I liked the way they brought us back to some of the same feel the original movie had without some of the things that bogged down the second and third movies. So I thought it was a resurrection for, in the name of the movie, as well as resurrection for Matrix for me. Really. Okay.
I've not yet gotten to see it. We had plans to see it today. And we're going to go to someone else's house to see it. And with like ice here and everything, we simply didn't. And we could watch it at home, but we've been holding off. Maybe we won't anymore. I don't know.
I don't know when it leaves.
Yeah. So it's going to leave HBO Max at some point. But the other thing is we're supposed to be covering it on Movie Chatter on Tuesday. So
Robin's going to watch it.
Maybe soon. Yeah. Because it's Sunday. Just saying. So
you might be watching this tomorrow.
In fact, one thing about the style that we're going to do for these top 10 shows is that each person's going to present what they want to present. They're going to say as much as they want to about it. The other two, we might throw in a sentence here or there, but to keep the pacing going along, we're not really going to turn it into a big discussion or anything. So as much as I desperately want to about Matrix Resurrections right now, we are going to save it for an episode of Movie Chatter, which we plan to record Tuesday night. Pending Robin being able to see it. If not, we might have to delay it a week, but that discussion's coming soon. A little shameless plug there. My number four is also Shang-Chi and the Legend of the Ten Rings. Pretty much close to where Tim had it on the list. I was surprised by it. I knew nothing about the character going into it. The trailers looked impressive, but I didn't really expect to connect with the story that much. And I will go on record saying I think it's one of the best MCU movies. I was blown away by it. I think it is definitely, without question, one of the best movies out of this past year. In fact, I feel bad putting it at number four. So, Tim, what is your number four?
I want to feel bad. Like, this is our top five favorite. I mean, out of all the other movies out there, this is pretty legit.
Yeah, this is the creme de la creme. But I mean, it was so good. I feel like it deserves to be higher. I had some other favorites, but I want to say that my other favorites, I think this was a better movie, even though my other, three favorites are still my favorites. I feel guilty, but it was really, really good. If you have not seen it, you really need to see it.
My number four is Free Guy.
Okay.
I love this movie. Okay. It was so freaking funny. While it was clearly inspired by other things, it was still very original in terms of its story and what it did. It was great. It was just this kind of immersive thing, and for anyone who, especially people who play video games, I think we've all, even going back to 8-bit video, well, maybe not 8-bit, maybe 16-bit, we imagined ourselves being in those games, being the heroes that we were playing or whatever, that kind of thing. And now that there's VR and stuff, it's like even more immersive. And this movie takes you there. It was great. So much fun.
I definitely agree with that. I love that film. It's on my list. I'll get to it in a bit. So moving on to number three, I'm going to take this one first. Spider-Man No Way Home. I have a hard time ranking movies where I've only seen them once and I've seen them very recently. And I don't have a way to see it again right now. I'm not going back out in the theaters again. When I saw it, Omicron wasn't really a thing. Now it is. Not going to see it again. I really, really liked it. I don't know where it's going to end up settling on my list of MCU films, but so far as of right now, it was a lot of fun. I loved seeing the characters. I guess the spoilers are already out there. There are other returning characters in the film. I loved seeing the returning characters. It was just, it was a lot of fun. It was everything I wanted the film to be. And it met all of my expectations and then exceeded those expectations in how it was delivered. It was a solid movie. So, Tim, what is your number three?
My number three is No Time to Die. The James Bond movie, Bond 25, as it was known for many, many years, actually, in production. Such an incredible wrap up to the what we know as basically the Daniel Craig era of James Bond. It took for the first time. I mean, all the previous Bonds didn't really have like their full cohesive story arcs, and that's what they did for Daniel Craig. They gave him his full story arc, and of course, canon. The concept of canon in James Bond is such a very loosey-goosey thing. You know, he had, you know, one of the original cars, one of the original James Bond cars from, you know, 1960s James Bond. And they just put it in there without acknowledging that, like, okay, this was a James Bond car, but they still gave it to him. And, like, you know, so you get some of those fun nuances like that. But this movie wrapped it, and it was so well done, and it was so incredibly tragic for the James Bond character, in every damn way possible. I mean, and it, when you think they're done, they just keep beating you on the head with a baseball bat. Like,
I don't know that you're selling
this
in
a way like
that well.
Well, and I was just going to say, I don't mean this in a sense to discourage anyone from seeing it. It's actually more reason to see it. And I know, Lou, you're going to talk about this in a bit too. So I want to leave some room for you. But yeah, it was that good. And it's a movie that weighs heavily, because it's because of where it is. It's a franchise movie. And it's an end. It's not the end to James Bond, but it's the end to Daniel Craig's James Bond. And yeah, there's a lot of weight to it. Really, really okay. Great movie.
Now, I haven't seen it, so it can't end up on my list, but Just wanted to throw that out there. If anybody's like, Eric, I can't believe you didn't include this. Well, I haven't seen it yet. Still catching up. Lou, what is your number three?
My number three is Red Notice.
Okay.
So, you know, it's funny because I went through my list and I had done this a while ago. And I'm kind of glad when I put them in here, we don't all have a lot of the same things in our top fives. Even though, you know, like you mentioned Tenet, I love Tenet. You know, it should have been in my top five. It wasn't there. You know, a lot of these things, I mean, Shang-Chi, but, you know, not in my top five, but it's right there. It's like just adjacent to it, I guess. But so Red Notice made my list because, you know, of who's in it. I mean, yeah. You know, obviously that makes a big difference. It was fun. It was upbeat. It was, you know, it was playful. And that's what I kind of, some of the things I'm thinking about in my head was that, you know, is it the best movie of everything I've seen? No, but did it fulfill a need that I had to see a movie this year that gave me, you know, fun and lightheartedness, and it didn't take itself too seriously? It was like, yeah, it was all that. So for me, this is as much about the year I saw it in as it is.
And
a
sometimes
good movie.
It makes a huge difference. Yeah.
Right.
All right. Moving on to number two, Tim, you're up next. What is your number two pick of 2021?
This movie was my number one movie of the year until last month.
Oh, don't tell me you're picking.
This
is
my
number
one movie.
Matrix Resurrections as your number one. Okay, good.
No. This was my number one movie of the year until I saw Spider-Man No Way Home. And I'll obviously talk about Spider-Man No Way Home next. Cruella.
Oh.
Cruella is an absolutely freaking phenomenal movie in every way, shape, or form. It was a huge surprise with what they did with it. I'm generally not a fan of you know, quote, Disney proper movies. And everything about this movie was perfect. The story, the cast, the acting, the directing in it, the absolutely everything about this movie. We watched, I mean, in the first, when we first got the movie and we paid the Disney Plus premium price, the $30 or whatever to get it. I think we watched it three times that first weekend. Both Robin and I absolutely loved it. And we've watched it several times since. It's just so damn well done. Thoroughly impressed with it. I love the direction that they took it. It is not a kid's movie. And that's another thing that I like with it is that they took an established character who already has a bent to her. And it's an origin story for the character. And they make the character completely and totally sympathetic. Like, you are rooting for the character. You are on the side, even though, like, she, you see this turn in her and you're like, wow, you know, even the other characters are making their commentary like, hey, you need to, like, chill out because you're, like, stepping over the line. You're still cheering for her, even though she has stepped up. I mean, it's like cheering for Darth Vader.
Darth Vader never made a coat out of puppy skin. So I'm just saying.
Neither did she.
She tried to eventually.
In this movie. In this movie. So, yeah, just such a great movie. Blown away by it.
It was quite a surprise. Lou, you're up next. What's your number two?
My number two is The Protégé.
Okay.
Yeah, I really enjoyed The Protégé. I thought it was, you know, kind of new. I liked the cast. I thought Maggie Hugh did a great job as her character. It was kind of nice to see, you know, two kind of old names come back and be in this. We had Samuel L. Jackson and we had Michael Keaton, you know, doing some stuff, which, you know, I don't know when the last time I saw Michael Keaton in the movie was before this, but
probably
it seems
Spider-Man
like a long time
Homecoming
ago
for me. Yeah,
maybe. Yeah. But, you know, I thought it was a great movie. And, you know, in the year of not seeing things in the theaters very much and seeing things at home, this just stuck in my mind as being one of the better movies of 2021.
OK. All right. My number two. I'm a little surprised that this is my number two. It's commonly considered that sequels are never as good as the original movie. And if they are, they almost never exceed the original movie. But this is a case where I hated the original and I loved the sequel. And that is The Suicide Squad. Not to be confused with the first Suicide Squad. This is The Suicide Squad, the James Gunn movie that came out this year.
See, drop Eric.
You don't have that kind of power. It was good. Did you see it, Lou?
Okay. I did.
All right.
I did.
I thought it was great. I thought it was hilarious.
Not a fan.
I thought, that's okay. I thought it exceeded my expectations. It was a lot of fun. It had some problems, but very few. And I just, it was a constant barrage of things that were unexpected. And I almost never get that in a film. Even if I can't predict the end of the film, the journey along the way is typically not just predictable, but it's projected almost, you know, it's intentional to some extent, because they don't want to lose the audience. They want you to understand what's going on. And yeah, maybe there's a plot twist at the end, but they're still guiding you through the movie. This movie was very much just one unexpected thing after another. And I loved that. And the humor worked. The action scenes worked. The characters were ridiculous in a way that fit the story and made the story work. Suicide Squad, definitely my number two for this year. And that brings us to our number one. Lou, I'm going to toss it back to you. What is your number one for 2021?
My number one's already been talked about, but No Time to Die was my number one. For all the things Tim said, very emotional movie. I don't get very emotional in movies very much, but this was one that had me choked up. I mean, it was it hits home. It's a good bookending to the Daniel Craig run of James Bond. And yet they brought back some things that they didn't do in his series of movies that were kind of throwbacks to older James Bond stuff that we kind of maybe missed in these newer versions of James Bond. But they did it in a way that it wasn't campy. It wasn't, that's old nostalgia type stuff. It was done really well. So I'm sad to see him finish his run as James Bond. I'm hoping we do bigger and better stuff going forward. But this was just a the best movie for me of 2021.
Now I got to say, Tim, I know you are a big James Bond fan. So to see it as your number two is not entirely surprising to me. I have to say that, and Lou, I know you're a fan, but like Tim is like an uber fan.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Oh, he is. Yeah.
For you to even have it in your top five, to me, that sends a message. And for it to be your number one of the year, that sends a clear message. I've still got to catch up with the film prior to this one. And I didn't see your lists coming into the show today, but if that's your number one, I think I'm going to fast track that and catch up. That's a pretty compelling statement. So,
but Bond is a franchise that while there's a lot of hype about, it's also at the same time, tremendously underrated. Like people talk about it and then the movie comes out and then they're done talking about it. And then there's hype building up to the next movie, lots and lots and lots of hype. And the movie comes out and people enjoy it. And then they don't talk about it. It's a weird, weird dynamic.
That's true.
That, and you know what made that the Bond franchise has this movie, just like truly to see this in a list of top movies for anyone, like you said, Eric, that's kind of a big deal. Because it doesn't, James Bond movies don't appear like that in a lot of ways. People, they anticipate them, they enjoy them, and then they seem to kind of forget them.
That's very true. Mm-hmm.
And you know, one thing that made this movie even better for me, I think actually in retrospect, was the, I don't know where it was on Netflix or where it was, but there was a special about basically Daniel Craig's run.
Yeah,
James
you
Bond.
Were saying that.
Yes.
Which was really cool and gave you some insights into what happened, and you kind of forgot what happened when you first got cast as James Bond back so many years ago. And it was like, oh yeah,
and the Brits hated him.
Yeah, right.
They hated the casting. Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
Yeah. I've got to watch that too.
Yeah.
My number.
Yeah. Yeah. That was
my number
special.
One is kind of going back to what you said a few minutes ago, Lou, about how the year itself kind of defined what you walked away from or what you walked away with from a movie. And I think for me, that had a big effect on my number two as well, with Suicide Squad. But my number one for this year was Free Guy. It was not the best movie this year. It was the movie that I enjoyed the most though. And I thought it was the most fun. And, you know, Tim, you made a lot of excellent points earlier that I fully agree with. In addition to that kind of, you know, wish fulfillment of, as somebody who also grew up with video games and all that, I think that we've seen similar sorts of things before, but this was the first time we saw it in a way where there was an interesting character story too. And we got to see things from the point of view of an NPC character while also getting to see real world characters, on kind of an emotional journey of their own, and getting to watch both of those two things blend together and there be a character story there. This is a type of movie that's typically when it's told, there is no depth. There is no meat in the story. And this had it. And again, not the best movie of the year, but it hit enough buttons for me and it did so very, very well. And I think the casting was phenomenal, not just Ryan Reynolds, but everybody else too. Taika Waititi, was it Jodie Comer? The whole cast was just, I thought, brilliant. And this was the most fun I've had with the movie in a long time. So that's...
We just watched it again a couple weekends ago. It's just such a fun movie. It really is.
And you can kind of drop in any scene and just be taken with it, and you just you fall right into it. It's so good.
Yeah.
But Tim, what is your number one favorite film of 2021?
All right. And so Eric, this was your number three film, Spider-Man No Way Home. And you kind of mentioned some concern of your own with some recency bias with it. Which I also I'm trying to be cautious of my own recency
bias.
It's good
to admit.
And similar to you, I did only see it once. I wish I could see it again. I do want to see it. I will see it again at some point It'll be long gone from the theaters by that time. But I'm looking forward to seeing it again. This was a great movie, and this really takes a lot of things in the MCU. The big thing to me was story-wise. I mean, you mentioned, that, you know, very cool to have some of these other characters come in, and that wasn't a big thing for me. I was actually very cautious about some of those we knew, some of those were rumors coming into it. And I was very concerned about how they would balance that out in the movie. And they actually did that balance very well, because the focus still stayed on the main character. It didn't, you know, it acknowledged other characters that came in. It spent some time with them, but not too much time. It didn't tip the scales.
It utilized them without letting them take over.
Yeah. It completely changed everything for Spider-Man, which it actually needed to do.
Mm-hmm.
It also, together with Loki, because I think that there's a lot of connection between these two that hasn't, it wasn't realized in the movie. It hasn't been realized by the characters in the MCU, but by the audience. I think the audience recognizes that there's linkages here. We have a new direction that we're going in the MCU because of the concept of the multiverse and different timelines and that kind of stuff. And this was the cinematic beginning of that.
And it's also going to let us reboot Venom.
Yeah, hopefully.
Sorry.
Don't even talk to me about Venom yet. All right. Well, you know what? It wasn't my favorite. It was my number three, but I have to say it was also one of my favorite moments of 2021, not just to get to see it in a theater, but to get to see it in a theater with Tim and Robin while I was visiting up there. That was really cool to get to, you know, it's a different experience when you get to go and see a movie in a franchise that you really love, and you're excited going into it. You're excited coming out of it. You get to talk to people about it afterwards, and you're doing it with close friends. And, you know, it's something that we haven't really gotten to do in like 2 years now with our movies, you know?
Yeah.
So, and the great thing was it just happened to fall in that little sweet spot of a couple of weeks where, you know, COVID, the numbers had kind of gone down. Things were looking kind of okay, you know, if you were vaccinated and had masks and stuff like that. And then it tipped back up again. If it had come out like a week later or 2 weeks later, not a chance, you know. But some honorable mentions. You know, it's funny because we all put the same movie in as an honorable mention. I'm going to come back to that in a minute. And we're not going to get into a big discussion about these. My honorable mentions for the year, Jungle Cruise, I liked a lot more than I expected. And I liked Zack Snyder's Justice League. I liked the fact that it fixed what was otherwise a disappointing movie that I knew could have been better. And then we got to see what it looked like when it was better. Tim, what was your other one other than what we all have?
Mine was Red Notice. I really enjoyed it. Lou talked about this. Mm-hmm. It was Lou, right?
Yep. Yeah.
Yeah. It was a fun movie. There was maybe a little more hype to the movie than what I think I got back out of it, but it wasn't that out of balance for me. I still think it was really enjoyable, great cast, a fun movie, a good story. It was and like totally rewatchable. Oh, yeah. You know, very very rewatchable movie. Just like that kind of actiony fun, good story driven movie. I thoroughly enjoyed it.
Lou, what about you? What did you have for honorable mentions?
You know, a lot of the same things you guys had in there. So Tenet, Shang-Chi, Spider-Man. I mean, those are all up there, should be on my list. I wish I could have had a top 10, but you know, only did the five. But I'd put all those up in there, with the exception of, like, you know, Suicide Squad that you mentioned. It was not one of my
top 10. I forgive you. Wait till we talk Matrix Resurrections.
wait until we get to our, you know, five worst movies or disappointments. I'm just going to piss all y'all off.
Yeah, I believe it.
I know.
All right, Lou, what was the one that we all three of us had as an honorable mention?
We all three picked the Tomorrow War. This was earlier in the year, wasn't it? This was
spring, maybe?
Early 2021? Yeah, I think so. I thought it was a good movie. I mean, yeah, it's you know it's got some stuff that we hadn't really thought of before, I think, but I was on board with it.
I think that if some of the plot holes didn't exist, it might have been higher on my list, but it was a good, solid movie. It was something, like you said, we hadn't seen that type of thing done that type of way before. It was, the action was intense. The story was good. The characters were very well developed. And I know some people kind of like rolled their eyes at the movie, but I thought it was really strong. So,
yeah. And it had that time travel element for
right.
me.
So, so bonus.
It puts it up there.
That subgenre that Robin likes so much.
Yeah, it was one of those movies that, again, drew inspiration from a lot of other films, but it did it in its own unique way. And it was a lot of fun. Yeah. It was a really great movie. Solid action.
Definitely.
I loved everything they did with it.
All right, so now we're going to get into our top five worst movies or least favorite or most disappointing for the year. This may go by pretty quickly. I don't know. Tim, what is your number five least favorite movie of 2021?
I feel like I'm being pushed in front for this Ritual
was,
Sacrifice.
You know, because you went in and put this in the show notes. You know the order was already selected in a blank document before we started.
Yeah, no, that's true. That's true.
Here comes the bus.
So mine was Dune.
Explain.
I only
yourself.
Have one issue that I take with your review of Dune, but go on.
So my and my take on this is the perspective of something that has kind of been mentioned that it's, I don't necessarily see it as a top five worst movie for me, but it is a top five disappointing movie for me. There was a lot of hype behind the movie. I was looking forward to it. I, you know, have some familiarity with the story, and it just fell so incredibly flat on me. It's not to say there weren't good aspects to it, because there absolutely were. It just did not, it didn't meet the hype. It didn't meet the expectations for me, at least. I'm hoping, you know, with the acknowledgement that it is a part of a story, I'm hoping that once we do get the rest of the story, that maybe that changes it for me.
Okay.
Maybe then I realize, oh, you know what? It actually is better because it led into this other thing. And so taken as a whole, like a lot of times we talk about Star Wars movies and, you know, the trilogies that, well, okay, yeah, we can judge the individual ones, but then once we look at the whole trilogy, we really see the full value of it. I'm hoping that I'll get that with Dune, because I want to like it. But I didn't, it was
that's
just kind of, okay.
That's fair. The only, when we did review it, and I'll just say this one thing and we'll move on. The only issue I took with, your critique of it was I thought the lead actor was brilliant. And I know that you did not.
Oh, terrible.
Yeah. Not only did you not like it, you said like, dude shouldn't even be acting. I think it was a brilliant performance, and you know, we already discussed it and took that apart on Random Chatter before.
Yeah, but
that's a fair assessment. So, Lou, what is your? You know, it's funny because I have not looked at this list, and of course I have to look at the list to see what mine was, and I'm seeing yours, Lou. I guess I can't say I'm surprised, but what's your number five least favorite?
My number five is Army of Thieves.
I did not see it coming, but I think I should have.
We talked about this on Movie Chatter. Mainly because I just did not connect with the main character. I mean, much to Tim's point about Dune, I mean, it's tough to like a movie if you don't like the main character.
Right.
I mean,
true.
And I, you know, I don't have a thing against the actor. I just didn't care for the character. He was annoying to me. It was just like, oh, I can't watch this. It's like, this is, I hated the little role he had in, well, what's going to be my number four pick for the worst movie?
Spoilers.
which made it even worse that he was the main guy in this movie. I'm like,
but you liked this one better than that one, I guess, because this is your number five least favorite, so.
I suppose.
I don't know. I'm trying to do the glass half full
thing. Could have been either way there, yeah.
All right. So the more I'm thinking this through, I'm going to swap my four and five on this list because as I'm thinking about really the criteria for judging this, My number five least favorite movie of the year was The Matrix Resurrections. And that's only because after I started thinking about what to say about what I had on number five, I realized, no, it is not a better movie than Matrix Resurrections was. I got a little bit out of Matrix Resurrections. At least the action scenes were good.
Wow.
The visuals were good. The production quality was great. The casting was phenomenal, I thought. The acting and directing was good. Matrix Resurrections had such a lame, empty story to it that, like, you could have given us something. I was very disappointed in Matrix Resurrections. And again, like we said earlier in the show, we're going to discuss it more on Movie Chatter. I can't wait for that episode. Yeah. So that was my number five. So, Lou, going to number four, I guess we already know what it is.
Yeah, Army of the Dead. This was the first movie in the series of Army of movies.
Yeah.
Hopefully it's not a continuation of any more of those.
There's actually going to be a whole series, like a TV series, and then there's another sequel movie. Yeah.
God. Okay.
I think
it was a fun movie.
Like World of the Dead or something is what it's going to be called.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. I mean, you know, to me, it was just another zombie movie that didn't quite work. And you know, you got to suspend disbelief, I guess, a little more than in most movies for a zombie movie. But you know, I don't know. I've seen zombies have done better elsewhere.
Wow.
So for me, it was just
okay.
Yeah.
All right, that's fair. So my number four that I moved down on my list from number five, The Hitman's Wife's Bodyguard.
That bad.
I love Ryan Reynolds. I love Samuel L. Jackson. I'm okay with Selma Hayek. The first movie was, it was fun. It was pretty good. I enjoyed it. This movie was so bad. There were good moments. There were some specific good moments that I really enjoyed. It was a bad movie. Again, the writing just all over the place. And as an action comedy, the action was okay. I wish they'd included comedy too, because I think that would have helped the comedy side of the action comedy if it actually had comedy. Yeah. So that was my number four. Tim, what was your number four?
My number four. So here's where I'm up in front of the firing squad again. My number four was Tenet. Basically,
what?
For all the same reasons as Dune. Lots of hype. I watched the movie and it had some good stuff in it, but for the most part, I was like, okay. Where's like the rest of the good stuff? I don't know.
That's okay. We're all kind of okay. Up in front of each other's firing squads here, which is part of what's making it fun, but okay. I mean,
I appreciated the world building that they did it in it. I think that was probably the best part of it. And while I understood the physics of what they were doing, it also has enough complexity in it that if you need to have like a whole army of YouTubers out there putting out videos to explain the physics in a movie, it's probably too complicated for the general
audience.
Don't watch Primer. Just saying.
Yeah.
Yeah, but you know, and I'll say this, I liked Tenet for all the same reasons Eric said he liked Tenet. I mean, there were some problems with it. It was something you couldn't grasp all at once, but I mean, a lot of Nolan's films are like that, where they're deeper than just I'm going to watch it and enjoy it and be done with it.
They're very cerebral movies.
Right. And you got to really think about it. So I mean, I get where you're coming from, Tim. I'm not trying to sway you. I'm just, you know,
sure.
Surprised.
Yeah.
But you can't sway me. It's in the document. It's in the show
it's
notes.
Too late
it
now.
Can't be changed.
Oh, Tim, wait, it can be changed. Hey, Tim,
it's getting deleted. Listen, I like movies where, you know, you want to go and hit YouTube afterwards to see what other people have said about it and kind of like filter through some of the puzzles and hidden meanings behind things.
But not to have to put up a whole whiteboard with schematics and drawings and wire diagrams to explain the physics behind the movie. Like that's,
I
understood it, but still there was a lot of complication to it.
There's a lot of things I didn't understand about it. Yeah. But no, to Eric's other question, have you seen Primer? Tim?
Eric?
Yeah.
Oh, have I? Oh, yeah, I'm sorry. I thought you were asking Eric. No, I have not.
Okay.
Okay. We should watch that with
and
Tim.
And then we're going to break out the whiteboard.
Watch it in VR. Yeah, watch it in VR, and we'll watch the YouTube videos about it. Yeah.
You know, I think all we need is that one chart from that one YouTube video with the different drawings and loops and stuff. we'll watch in VR where we can sit down on the movie screen, and then I'll put that up on the movie screen, and we'll talk through it. And then you don't have to check out any YouTube videos. Primer, it's an independent movie. It costs like probably $10,000 to make or something. Like it's way like indie, and it is one of the best time travel movies ever made.
Okay.
But also mind-bendingly brain hurting.
But not impossible to understand.
Sure.
It's just you need the cliff notes to be able to follow.
You can't be drunk and you can't be tired. Yeah.
Okay.
So anyway, moving on though.
All right. That's fair.
So number three. So I'm up first for this one.
Three.
I was not
expecting this movie to be that great anyway. And my son wanted to watch it. And I mean, it was a major release, HBO Max, the Tom and Jerry movie. Was bad on so many levels. And listen, I grew up with Tom and Jerry. Like if they had just done that with the characters and then put it in this movie, it still would have been bad. But at least the Tom and Jerry moments would have been good. The humans, even Michael Pena, I love Michael Pena. And he was the only tolerable thing in this movie. This movie was so bad. None of the humans knew where to look at the CG characters. The slapstick comedy of Tom and Jerry, and I can appreciate slapstick comedy, was horrible. It was so lame. It's indescribable. I won't go off on a rant about it, but yeah, Tom and Jerry. Here's the scary part. Like you said, Tim, it's well known how much I hated this movie because I talked about it a lot when it came out. There are two movies I hated more than this on my list. When I realized that, when I was making the list, I said to myself, holy crap, Tom and Jerry's only at number three? Wow.
I can totally get behind you in Tom and Jerry beyond your worst list.
I want to say one more thing. Yeah, go ahead.
It's not on mine because I didn't finish it. That's how bad it was. I couldn't do it.
And we are the type of people, like if we start a movie, we're probably going to finish it because we know if nothing else, we're going to talk about it later. So you might as well finish it and at least have an educated opinion about what you're talking about. To walk out of a movie for us, it's not unheard of, but it's really rare.
There were two movies I did not finish this year. In this is one of them. The other one's not on the list because it's not a current movie from this year.
I don't remember what it was. Oh, Cannibal. Yeah. Cannibal the Musical. It's okay. We'll finish it. Did you get to the Let's Build a Snowman song at least? Oh, we'll fix that. I'll send you the YouTube video of it. So the other thing I wanted to say, we had a bunch of different categories this year. Best movie, worst movie, best new show, best returning show, biggest surprises. This is the one category I narrowed it down to 15. There were so many bad movies this year that were like,
this was the hardest one to
name movies. Yeah. It was the hardest one to narrow down because there were some stinkers, and we're talking like A-list actors, hyped movies that were so bad. So this was a really rough category to do, even a top five, let alone a top 10. But so that's my number three, Tom and Jerry. Tim, what is your number three least favorite movie of 2021?
Mine was Mortal Kombat. This is a mix of one, the movie being hyped a lot, like pretty heavily anticipated. And so not only did it not meet the hype, it was just bad.
Is this the one about the martial arts tournament for which there was no tournament in the movie?
Exactly.
Okay, just checking.
Yeah. You know, there were some reasonable effects in it. That was probably the best thing, the best part of the movie. But beyond that, like, a lot of the acting was not great. The story was absolute crap. Yeah,
there was some good parts. Like, some of the acting was good. A lot of the acting was embarrassing. And the opening scene that was set in the past was really good. Really good. With his father.
Yeah, actually that was.
With that guy who's who brilliant actor, and I can never remember his name. So there were good moments, but it was a horrible movie. I'm just kind of unofficially adding that to my honorable mentions. That was bad. Lou, number three.
Godzilla versus King Kong.
I took that off my top five. Yeah, that was bad.
And just for like what Tim was saying, it didn't meet my expectations. I mean, I shouldn't say, because I didn't really have any expectations. I knew it was going to be bad going in, but I wanted
to. We didn't know
it
was going to be this bad going in, though.
It just didn't work on any level. It was a movie, and it was, shown on screens.
Many screens.
Yeah. So that's all I got.
that was such a bad movie. Tim, what's your number two?
My number two is Ice Road.
Is that Liam Neeson?
This, I think, only released.
Okay.
Yes. Yeah. So Liam Neeson and Lawrence Fishburne, two great actors who I love tremendously. I think it's only released on Netflix.
Okay.
It was almost a parody of Liam Neeson's catalog of movies.
Really?
Like, that's just kind of what it was. Just so tremendously disappointing. And the story was just garbage. And it was not good.
No.
Did he have a particular set of skills?
Kind of.
And I guess he used them in every movie.
but also tremendously underdeveloped. Really disappointing for a Liam Neeson movie. And I'm a big fan of his.
I don't remember even hearing about this. So
it kind of flew under the radar. Huh. Netflix didn't hype it as much as I would have expected. In fact, I've got it on my list, and after hearing this, I'm going to take it off.
I'm guessing that like Netflix bought it, probably sight unseen, because hey, it has Liam Neeson and Lawrence Fishburne. How could we go wrong with it?
Yeah.
And then once they first previewed it, they're like, oh, this isn't good. So we're just going to put it out there, and maybe we make a couple bucks, but
we spent the money anyway.
We spent the money anyways. We might as well add it to the catalog.
Wow.
All right. Lou, what is your number?
I guarantee it got them zero new subscriptions.
It sounds like it.
It might have even lost them.
That's a good point.
Possible.
That's one of those situations where it could be worse to release the movie than not. Lou, what is your number two for least favorite film of 2021?
My number two for least favorite film was In the Heights.
I forgot to even consider that one.
I'm not a musical guy to begin with, but I don't know. It didn't need to be made. And I know it was a film adaptation of a Broadway show that was one of Lin-Manuel Miranda's first hits, right?
It's what got him on the map.
Was this. Yeah. And I imagine seeing it in the theater, not the movie, but I mean seeing the show on stage, would have been incredible.
That's what people say. And apparently different.
Musicals on
stage. Different too. Yeah.
Really? Okay. I mean musicals on stage are amazing to see. I mean, I don't get to see very many of them. I don't go to New York very often or get to ones around here, but they are amazing to see. It's just they don't translate to film very well in most cases. I mean, the one exception was probably the other one that was Hamilton. But, was that a 2021 release?
That was 2020. But here's the difference. Okay. So Hamilton, I thought was brilliant. I've rewatched that so many times. Mm-hmm. Still trying to get Robin to see it. I think she might like it. But it's not an adaptation. It is a filming of a stage production. Right. They're on stage in New York City performing it. And this is filming of that. And it's brilliant. And I agree with you. Right. In the Heights as an adaptation, all due respect to Lynn, but I don't think it should have been made.
No, it didn't work for me at all. And
all right.
Yeah.
Well, my number two was a movie that I thought, you know, even if it's bad, it's not going to be that bad. It's got a good cast. It's, you know, been long anticipated. They've sunk some money into it. And that was Coming to America, like the number two America. So Coming to America 2, the sequel to the old 1980s, Eddie Murphy comedy that was really good. Arsenio Hall, James Earl Jones, lots of other people in it. It was a good movie, the original. And I thought, okay, so, you know, it's them revisiting it and, you know, it's been long enough. It'll be okay. It was horrible. It was horrible on a level I cannot even begin to describe. There was just everything I just got done saying about the lack of story in the other two films. This surpasses it. It was embarrassing. I felt so bad. I cringed physically while I was watching this movie. I had to struggle not to turn it off. I hated it. I hated it.
And really? I don't think we ever.
I don't think we did either.
We talked. I saw briefly. It. And I kind
You're
of
kidding me.
It.
I mean,
no,
I'll forgive
seriously.
You for Matrix Resurrections.
I wouldn't say I'm going to watch it again. And this is like, oh my God, it's
you
an amazing
pay
movie.
Me to watch this again.
But it was fun. It was okay. We're revisiting something we had, you know, years ago. Yeah.
No, we're not. We weren't.
It
what we had years ago was wonderful.
Had some greatness
we didn't revisit that at all.
Points to it. It was good. No. It was fun. Mm-hmm. It wasn't a great movie, but it was fun. Mm-hmm.
Thank you, Tim. Thank you.
No. It was so bad. Oh, wow. Yeah, no, guys, I'm sorry. It was, I literally don't have words. Like I've never really had a problem quantifying what I like or don't like about a film before. And this one, especially in such the short amount of time we have right now, I don't even know what to say about how empty and shallow and unfunny and uncreative and lacking of any character, story, anything. Nothing about the story made any sense. It was just sad. It was like Amazon Prime needed a movie to put them on the map because Netflix was dominating so hard and HBO Max was doing well, Disney Plus was doing well. Amazon needed something with a big name, not just the actors, but with the movie. And they did this. And in the history of films that never should have been made, sequels that have never should have come, this is like right up there. That's my two cents. I could go on in detail for hours, but this is not the time or place.
No, it's okay.
Yeah.
Wow.
So number one, least favorite or most disappointing movie of 2021. Lou, it's back to you. What you got?
So I just thanked him for coming to my defense of, you know, thinking that Coming to America wasn't as bad as Eric was saying. Now I'm going to just tear his heart out and make him cry. Gunpowder Milkshake was my number one worst movie.
I don't think he's
going to
be that bothered by it. I don't think he would think that was a good movie.
No. Oh, I thought he was on board with Robin.
I know Robin liked it.
Gunpowder Milkshake. Gunpowder Milkshake was a good movie. It was a lot of fun. It didn't have a huge amount of depth, but I enjoyed it.
So, I mean, as much as Eric doesn't understand why I liked Coming to America 2, I don't understand how Tim could make those comments about Gunpowder Milkshake.
I'm so confused.
This
one,
I'm going to make the exact. Far, you can copy and paste my comment for Eric's next movie because it's the same damn comment.
I'm so confused. Yeah, Gunpowder Milkshake. It's on my honorable mentions. It's bad.
Not there for me. It was horrible.
It was. What's the one Zack Snyder movie?
It was this close to turning it off. It was this close to turning it off. It was like, wow, I just can't. I can't do it.
It was trying to be Sucker Punch, and was nowhere near that level of anything.
It was definitely better.
Oh
than
my
Sucker
gosh!
Punch.
And I like the casting in this movie too. I really wanted to like it, but yeah.
Wow.
They tried to be, not just like, but they tried to be John Wick, and couldn't pull it off. It's like, okay, so we had John Wick, we had the Continental, we had the things of, you know, buying the gun. It was all really kind of cool. Let's do the same thing with this, but make it really awkward in the library. And no,
it was so
so
bad. Yeah.
So we'll move on. I'll give up this and let Eric.
This is where Tim never speaks to me again. We already had it out with Robin on the last episode of Movie Chatter, where we talked about Spider-Man No Way Home in this movie. My number one most disappointing movie for this year. Not necessarily the worst movie, but most disappointing was Venom Let There Be Carnage.
Agreed.
Really?
It's okay. In my honorable mention.
The story was basic. It was like, it was a buddy cop trying to get along with your roommate. And then you, I guess, have an argument or something. I don't even remember like what the thing was, because it was really dumb. And then they go and then they kind of cry in their beer a little bit. And then they come home and they make up. And then, oh, by the way, Carnage infected a serial killer who killed people, and then Venom goes and defeats him. Like, the most shallow, nonsensical, lazy writing. Lazy is the best way to describe this movie. There was one good character, the shopkeeper, and there was one decent scene, and that was the rave scene. The club scene. Lazy. And here's the thing. I love Tom Hardy in the role. I love the effects of Venom. Like, I love the concept of what they're doing with Venom and Eddie Brock. I honestly, legitimately love it. And I think that's why it was so disappointing, because how can you come up with a way to deliver the concept so well, but then fail so miserably at the delivery by having just a non-existent story? So lazy. Like, I've never had a movie that lazy was the best word to describe the writing to the extent that it fits this film. It was so bad.
So I enjoy it. My expectations were never very high for it.
Nor were mine, and it didn't even come close to my low expectations.
I thought it was a fun movie. I agree. It did not have a lot of depth to it. I think that the big challenge that Sony has is that they are trying to develop a character that is so, the original story is so closely associated with Spider-Man, yet they have not basically been allowed to touch Spider-Man.
Right.
With this character. Now, that said, you read the comics, Venom has plenty of storylines independent of Spider-Man.
Good ones.
But very good ones, but they had to establish the character first, and then they worked within the universe that they had. Sony has such a limited universe. There's a lot of challenges.
Are we going to hear this when Morbius comes out? Like, is this going to be kind of the "we're going to let Sony off the hook for everything" excuse? Because you're not wrong. Listen, it was a challenge. So, you're right. That's hard.
So for a Morbius origin story, it doesn't need to involve anyone else. That's the thing.
Listen, I thought,
and from what I've seen in the trailer, it's dark and it's horror-y, and I am so freaking on board with it. And I'm glad that they delayed it in theaters, because I want to see it in the theater. So, but we're not talking about that.
I mean, I hope it's good, but I liked the first Venom movie. It wasn't great. It was okay. Yeah. And I thought, again, with all the challenges you just listed, those are legitimate issues, and I thought they did the best they could, and I thought it turned out okay.
See, I didn't like the first
I didn't love
either,
it
so
But it was okay. It was, I think, you know, I keep saying it was really good for a 1990s comic book movie. It just didn't come out in the 1990s. This was bad. But we'll move on. Tim, what was your number one most disappointing movie of 2021?
So the funny thing is that before the show, I was going through my list with my wife, and I mentioned this movie, and she says, "What was that?" Exactly. And she watched it with me. So you would think that a movie with Bruce Willis, one of my favorite actors, and Frank Grillo, who's pretty good, you would think, well, hey, this is going to be a pretty good action-y movie. It's set in space. Okay, a little different, but something pretty good. No, Cosmic Sin was a sin. It was a sin for them to create and release this movie at all. They should not have. Wow. Whoever had this idea needs to find another career. Wow. This was just not a good movie in any way, shape, or form. If you want to watch it for some reason, it's on Netflix. Don't subscribe to Netflix to watch this movie if you're not already subscribed to Netflix. Like pretty similar to Ice Road, this gained Netflix nothing, but it cost them money, and I'm sure that they are really, really disappointed in that.
So I know we don't take Rotten Tomatoes into consideration much when we do these things, but I was just curious. I had never, I remember hearing about Cosmic Sin when you first talked about it on Random Chatter during the year, but I forgot about it since then and never seen it. It has a tomato meter reading of three.
Three.
I'm like, wow, I don't think I've ever seen a three before.
Wow.
Three.
Okay.
It has an IMDb rating. So IMDb does up to 10 stars. This is 2.5 stars out of 10 with only 12,000 reviews.
Which is not much.
12,000 reviews on IMDb is nothing. That might as well be like four people rated it. I mean,
okay.
And 2.5 stars, I think, is generous. I would not have rated it that high. Maybe one.
Honorable mentions. Tim, you don't have any listed?
I really don't. I thought about it and was like, okay, this is the list of movies that I just really either didn't like or was tremendously underwhelmed by. Anything else just kind of falls somewhere in between. Like, you know, it was a fine movie, but, whatever.
Well, like I said, I had a really hard time narrowing it down to just 10, let alone 5. We mentioned, Lou, you had Godzilla versus Kong on your list. I did on mine as well. I had to take that off. Space Jam 2. I still thought it was better than the first Space Jam, but it was not good. Gunpowder Milkshake, we talked about that. Reminiscence came out recently, and it was Hugh Jackman, and I forget who else was in it. And it was horrible.
I had wanted to see that.
So I love that kind of mind trickery sort of movie about, you know, like things like Inception and The Matrix, like what's real, what's not, what's going on. Mm-hmm. I love those types of movies. Number one, I still don't understand what happened. And number two, I don't care. Actually, I think I do understand what happened, because I went and I looked at YouTube videos like we discussed earlier to make sure that like what I think was going on was actually going on. And yeah, I was right. And I just didn't care. Like, it was so bad. You care about none of the characters in the movie. It's really bad. And then the other one that should have been good was The Many Saints of Newark, which was the prequel movie for The Sopranos. I love The Sopranos.
Yeah. Really highly
anticipated.
So
the movie was anticipated, and the general consensus was, you know, it had good acting. The casting was pretty good, but there was just nothing going on in the movie that anybody cared about. It was really a very lackluster gangster movie that had some really good moments, but you're just sitting through the movie waiting for something interesting to happen, and it never does. It was very disappointing. It didn't make my top five because it at least had some good acting in it. But man, it was, I'll never watch it again. Lou, what do you have on your honorable mentions?
A lot of the stuff we already talked about. Mortal Kombat is on my honorable mentions. Venom. And then I have Snake Eyes. G.I. Joe Origins. I still
remember that pincushion scene at the beginning with the truck.
Yeah, that's not the way swords work through glass. But anyways, I just didn't care for it at all, and I don't know.
I see where you're coming from.
It was hard to narrow
down.
And
the fact that was such an improvement to the G.I. Joe franchise really says something about the G.I. Joe franchise.
Yeah, I know. And the thing is, I mean, if you can have the same team that's put together the Marvel MCU stuff, put together G.I. Joe franchise movies, you could have something. I mean, there's a lot of good storytelling that could be done with the right writers and the right directors and the right cast. I mean, anyway.
All right. Well,
if only every franchise had a Kevin
Feige. True.
Yeah.
Hey, Star Wars has got dibs. Just saying.
They're getting him
he's
on
He's
got to
fix Star Wars first, then he can go fix the rest of the world. All right, well, that's going to do it. I hate to end on a bad note, so just to recap the top three that we had. Lou had No Time to Die. I had Free Guy. Tim had Spider-Man No Way Home. If you haven't seen those, when you get a chance to, go check them out. They were very good. At least the two of the three I saw were very good. I'll take your word on the other one. Let us know what you thought of the episode. Do you like us doing the top 10 lists? I mean, this one's pretty beefy. It ran a little longer than we would normally expect, but it was kind of fun. And I think that maybe this is something that could be a good addition to the channel. So let us know what you think in the comments below. Hit the subscribe and like button. If you're listening to this on audio podcast form later, head over to youtube.com/randomchatter. Hit the buttons to subscribe and like and throw your comments in. Let us know what you think about it. Okay, that's going to do it for this episode of Random Chatter. We will be back again soon with another top 10 list for you. Until then, take care.